Welcome to the Leverage Podcast, where we give you men's dating advice that doesn't suck. I'm your host, Robbie Kramer, a personal growth junkie and dating coach for over 15 years. Tune in each week to learn the latest and greatest strategies to get more dates, make yourself more attractive and confident with the opposite sex, in order to meet your perfect 10 and design a lifestyle that makes all your buddies jealous. If you're a regular listener and digging our content, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, wherever you watch this or listen. But if you don't feel like it's worthy of 5 stars, just go ahead, don't leave any review at all, and that'd be great. If you're new to the show, I recommend you download my free dating protocol, which will help you optimize your first dates. I like to connect with my listeners personally, so send me a message on Instagram, say hi, and I'll send you over that PDF to download. You can find me on Instagram at Robbie_Kramer, that's Robbie_Kramer. Before we dive into this week's content, I want to let you guys know we've opened up a few spots in our exclusive mastermind program called the Leverage Group. We're accepting applications if you want to join our select group of men and experience a radical power of accountability, stop procrastinating on your goals, cross everything off your sexual bucket list, and become a beast who gets more stuff done. To learn more and apply, go to innerconfidence.com/leverage. So let's dive into the content. Today, we're going to do a short little episode about the, call it the ABCs of dating and sex. There's a lot of lingo that gets thrown around, like one night stand, late night booty call, hookup, friends with benefit, what's a rotation girl, what's the difference between a player and a fuckboy. And I had one of the guys in the Leverage group, you know, say that he was kind of confused about a lot of these, you know, quote-unquote simple terms that really aren't that simple. We just kind of take for granted that everyone knows what these things are. But there's a lot of nuance with these sort of terms, and understanding what they are can really help you on your path to becoming a more attractive guy, better with women, and able to get some of those, you know, late-night booty calls and those things that, yeah, you might want in your life, right? So these are kind of like the fundamentals, and yeah, they can be confusing. So we're going to do our best. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you, this is my lovely wife and co-host, Maria. I'm going to ask her what she thinks these terms are. It's going to be interesting because she's from Ukraine, and she's obviously a non-native English speaker. So I'm going to ask her what the terms are, and then I'm going to define what the terms are and then try to put them into context for how they can be more useful for you. So the first one, let's talk about a one-night stand. So what do you consider a one-night stand?
I think if you go out, meet someone there, and you have a sex, and after you never see each other.
Yeah. A one-night stand implies it's just going to be one night.
Of course.
Right? Yeah. Typically, you know, one-night stands are not what most guys want. You know, guys kind of get the bad rap that's like, oh, he's just looking for a one night stand, or he's just looking for another notch on his bedpost. And, you know, I never enjoy, like, if I liked a girl enough to have sex with her, I wanted to have sex with her again. Mm-hmm. I can only think of maybe a couple times when I was really drunk and then I felt really bad the next day, where I was genuinely interested in a one night stand. And I found that for most women too. Very few people are really interested in one night stands. But that word gets thrown around there a lot when it comes to dating. And I think a better way, like most people end up in a situation where they're getting a one night stand if the attraction is just not there for one of the parties, right? Like if you're really not attracted to a guy, but you sleep with him out of misjudgment, you're probably not going to sleep with them again.
Of course,
right?
And usually it happens to guys because they're really drunk and they would fuck any girl. And after when they wake up, they terrify.
Yeah, I bet if we did some research that one night stands are more of an occurrence for men, because women usually, you know, they make the mating decision, right?
It's, yeah.
Most men are doing the pursuit and then women are doing the choosing, yes or no. And unless, you know, women are just like out that night to get laid, or they're just looking to get to hook up on a dating app or something. Most of the time a one night stand is only going to happen if one party is just really not that into the other one. So, all right, I think we beat a dead horse for a one night stand. Let's talk about a late night booty call. What do you consider a late night booty call?
I don't know. I never had one, probably. I don't know what it is. Late night, it's like you call...
I guess we could just...
On video and show your everything.
No.
I don't know.
That's interesting that you... that. Okay.
It's not the first...
So, you know what a booty call is?
No.
Okay, so a booty call is when you call someone up to hook up, to fuck.
Ah. Oh, right? My God. I would never think.
That's a booty call. It's like me texting you at 3 a.m. What are you doing? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So... Mm-hmm. Now, this is an important term to know because,
oh my God,
if a woman that you're, you know, some way, shape or form, like, you know, seeing or dating, or maybe you haven't ever been on a date with her, maybe you never even met her in person, but you guys have exchanged contact information, maybe through Instagram, maybe through an online dating site. If this girl messages you after bars and clubs are closed in your city, right? That's usually around 1 to 3 a.m. for most places. Like in New York City, people stay out late. In Europe, people stay out till 4 a.m. So maybe getting a message from a girl at like 1 or 1:30 a.m. isn't a booty call. Maybe it's like a legit, like, you know, where are you? Let's go party together. But if you get that message in L.A., you know, especially if you're not really in the party scene or she's not in the party scene, you can be pretty sure that someone messaging you at that hour of the night is looking for sex. They're probably drunk and they're probably looking to hook up, right? Like, why would you message a guy?
I would not.
At that time.
Unless.
You were, right. And most guys totally botch that because a girl messages them at like 1:30 and she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, just, you know, hanging out, sleeping. It's like, dude, she's messaging you because she wants to hook up. So, like, don't say sleeping. Say like, I'm chilling. What are you doing? Right? Because she's fishing to see if, like, you know, she's looking for an invitation. Right? So you want to make sure you respond in a way that gives her that gives her hope that an invitation is coming. You want to feel her out a little bit. Right? Like I would respond, just chilling. Actually can't sleep. Mm-hmm. How about you? Right? Because now I've said I can't sleep. I'm up. I'm open to hanging out. And then she's probably going to follow up like, oh yeah, I can't sleep either. I might even call her out and say like, I bet someone's been drinking. And if she's like, yeah, you know, I just had some drink, like, you know, I'm kind of thirsty. We should drink together and see how she responds to that. And then drop the address, have her come over. If she's messaging you at that time, obviously there's nothing else open, right? So odds are she's going to come straight over. But so many guys screw that up. And they miss out on these opportunities where women are looking to hook up with them, but they don't realize it is a booty call. So they totally blow it. That happened to one of the guys in the group. We'll call him Chuck. he had a girl hit him up. Luckily, he messaged in the group, like in real time, like, what is this? What's going on? And we coached him in live, you know, real time. Obviously, we responded right away. Like, no, this is a booty call. You need to go meet up with this girl. Sure enough, he did. And they had sex. So good job, Chuck. so that's a late night booty call. What is a hookup? I guess that's a very broad general term, but what do you consider a hookup?
Just a sex that doesn't lead to relationships?
So does hookup mean sex to you?
Yes.
It does. So that can be... Usually when I say hookup, I also mean sex, right? That means the P has gone into the V. But not everybody means sex by that. Some people, some girls I've heard, they, yeah, we hooked up once, meaning like we just made out. So just understand that.
No one say this.
I've literally met people who've said that. They're wrong. I think that's wrong. But my point is don't assume that always means sex from everyone, right? Some people think that's just making out. Obviously, at the bare minimum, hooking up means at least making out. And for, I'd say, 99% of the population, it means sex. But don't be so sure, right? But that's how you should use the phrase, hookup means sex. And if a girl says, like, if I say, oh, yeah, I was just hooking up with her, what does that mean to you?
That you just had a sex with her. It's not relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It was just sex. Like,
it could be the beginning of a relationship.
No, I would not call, like, I would not, like, if like, you like someone in the way that you would want to have a relationship in future, I don't think you would call it hookup. Hookup is just more...
Well, no,
just...
we're saying we're hooking up. You might say that. But most people would say we're seeing each other or we're dating.
Yeah, we're seeing each other. We're having sex. At least because sex is more like a nicer word for this. For me, it would be offensive.
Well, actually, sex in U.S. culture is more of like a hooking up is a softer way of saying sex.
Really? Yeah. I don't like this word.
Yeah, like on the spectrum of like you have like fucking and then you have banging. And then you have hooking up, and then you have like...
So disgusting.
What else do you have? Banging, hooking up, sleeping with, dating, seeing each other. Like women love to say we're seeing each other. And it's like, what does that mean? It means probably we're having sex or we're hooking up, but it's just a nicer way to say that, right? Mm. And then you have we're having sex. We're saying we're having sex is like very literal.
It's like direct.
Like if you said that.
I think it's, I mean, it's normal, yeah.
Yeah, it's normal because English isn't your first language. But like, if someone asks you like, oh, how do you know them? You're like, we're having sex. that would be funny.
I would say we're dating.
Of course.
Or we're seeing each other.
We're seeing each other, right? Yeah. Seeing each other doesn't imply sex.
Yeah.
Women like to use the word seeing each other to make it seem like they haven't had sex, even if they have, yeah. Right? So like, you know, if you ask a girl, I'm not saying to do this, but if you were to like, let's say you're on a date and you're playing the questions game and, you know, something comes up and she's like, oh, yeah, I was seeing this guy. They're probably having sex. You could pretty much
assume. They probably could see each other 3 times and she didn't like him and that's all. But she was seeing him.
Yeah.
Right?
If she didn't have sex with him, she'd probably say, I went on a few dates with him. And
it can mean
there was
a lot.
No chemistry.
And it's easier for a girl because you don't need to explain all this
stuff. It's intentionally vague. That's the point. They're trying to be vague on purpose because they don't want to give that answer of... Did they have sex? Yes or no, right?
Yeah.
Like she's avoiding answering directly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when they talk about hookup culture, do you know what they mean by that?
It's when people don't want to have a relationship and they just want to have sex.
Exactly.
With like random people.
Yeah, like Tinder is a perpetual tool of hookup culture, right? Because
never had one.
Never had Tinder. That's good. In today's, that's why we're married right now. In today's day and age, like hookup culture is just the idea that like, we're not going to really date. We're just going to meet and hook up. And right now the biggest, like, you know, they call it like a dating app, which should be just be called a fuck app is Tinder, right? People on Tinder. And I just read a study on this, like the girls on Tinder are the most likely to hook up. But guys get like totally, like guys who are clueless think they should go on like Adult Friend Finder or some of these like niche market weirdo creepy sites to find girls who want to hook up. But really what they're going to find there is they're going to find prostitutes. They're going to find kinks. It's like that guy I talked to.
They will find cuckold.
Cuckolds. Cuckolds.
We call it cuckold.
Cuckold, yeah.
In Ukraine,
it's funny. It sounds like a chicken. Cuckold. Cuckold. Cuckold, yeah. Yeah, I was talking with this guy the other day, you know, who was considering becoming a member of Leverage. And he was like, oh, yeah, I was a virgin. I was on the Adult Friend Finder looking to lose my virginity. I'm like, what? Why would you go on that site? Because it's like a kink and weirdo site. And then he ended up like having sex with like a couple for his first time. And he wasn't
so
very
weird.
Satisfied with that. As you can
of
imagine.
Course. And it's your first experience you'll remember forever.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the best way to lose that V card, but it is a way. But yeah, if you're looking to hook up, Tinder is going to be the play, not Adult Friend Finder or like some of these other like weird niche market hookup sites, right? So that was kind of a tangent, but the whole hookup culture is just, yeah, that idea of like not dating, not having a long-term relationship and just like hooking up with people and then maybe dating based on who you're kind of hooking up with, like high school and college and like frat life, you know, Greek life in college. That's very much a hookup culture because people are young and they're looking to explore their sexuality and, you know, see what's out there, have a lot of variety. And then after, you know, seeing what's out there, hooking up with a bunch of people, they might then get into a a long-term relationship with one of them. So it's the opposite of what kind of happened in old school. Like if we look back at like my parents or grandparents, there was no hookup culture. It was totally taboo to like have sex with someone before you were actually going steady, is what they used to call it.
Going steady?
Going steady means like steady. We're monogamously dating, right? And it was, you'd be totally like slut shamed as a woman if you had sex with a guy before you were going steady, right? Obviously, that's not the world we live in today. So let's talk next about friends with benefits. What does that mean to you?
Friends, it's when you are pretending to be friends and sometimes you have a sex.
Right. That's, I'm glad you said pretending to be friends.
Because it's not like you can have a sex with the friend and stay friends. Exactly. It doesn't work like this. It's like, no, for me, it's totally not.
So how do you know if the person... Like, let's say two people, or let's say someone asks us, let's say, we're hooking up, right?
Having sex.
Having sex, yes. And someone asks me, like, so what are you guys doing? And I say, we're friends with benefits. And you say something else. You say, you know, we're dating or we're hooking up. Who is more invested in the relationship, you or me?
I think when you when you say friends with benefits, it's you don't invest.
Exactly. You're less invested.
Yeah.
Because you're saying, you're basically like, by saying we're friends with benefits, you're, I keep doing this dumb air quote thing. Just punch me in the face next time I do that. not too hard, because I know you punch hard. So when you say that, you're implying that you don't want it to go any further than that.
And you don't do anything for it to go further. You're just having sex.
Yeah. And you're hoping that the other person feels the same way. And
but it never works.
It doesn't work. Yeah.
Never works.
It's just a matter of time before one side cops feelings. Catches feelings, I mean to say.
Yeah.
Cop a feel.
It's like that movie. It's like that movie with Mila Kunis.
Yeah, it was literally called Friends with Benefits, right?
I don't know. In Ukrainian, it doesn't call it this.
Yeah, I think it was called like that. But... That's what you should know. And any friends with benefits, just keep in mind, like if you're hooking up with a girl and she says that you're friends with benefits, she's not investing. And if you try to push for a relationship there, you're probably going to end up hurt, right? You would actually want to mirror her language and make it seem even less interesting on your end. If you like, if like you're, you know, you want her to be your girlfriend and she's calling it friends with benefits, you're in bad shape. At least no, you're having sex with her.
You're in total bad shape.
You're probably not going to get that unless you actually, this is where you need to start playing games. This is when a little bit of gamesmanship and game theory comes into play, because you need to, she at that point thinks that she's less invested than you, right? And we all want what we can't have, right? What makes our relationship so amazing is when we got together, we were both like invested at the same level throughout the whole time. Right. That's the one thing that I look at our relationship versus all the other relationships I've had is we were really on the same page the whole time. Right. Every other relationship I ever had, it was either I was too into the girl or she was too into me. And that level of investment somehow screwed it up. And a lot of that was just having to do with timing or just a fundamental lack of values. And it's really, really hard to find that. Like if you find that, lock it down, because it's like it's such an amazing thing to be at that same level of investment. But if one side is saying I just want to be friends, or we're friends with benefits, you need to invest less. You need to make it seem like you don't even want to be friends, you just want to be benefits. Like she's just my fuck buddy, right? So like fuck buddy is even slightly lower on the totem pole than friends with benefits, you could say. Is that what you consider a fuck buddy?
Yeah, I consider that friends with benefits are fuck buddies.
Right. And these fuck buddy friends with benefits situations are probably going to last like a month to 3 months tops. If you can stretch them out longer than 3 months, like...
Good.
Bravo. they burn hot and fast. So let's talk about what does it mean to be a player versus a fuck boy?
I think that like no one likes players because they're so tricky. And fuck boys, I think girls like them because they have a lot of beautiful girls around competing for them, and they want to get him because they want to show to all those girls that I'm better than you.
So a fuck boy is a guy who fucks a lot?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why is it a fuck boy, not a fuck man?
I don't know. It's already probably English thing.
What would your guess be? What would your guess be? Like, why would you call him a fuck boy versus a fuck man?
I don't know. What was the difference? He's younger.
Well, that term fuck man doesn't exist. Basically, it's called a fuck boy because it's like, you're just like, it's kind of like a boy toy. Like, girls will call hot guys like boy toys.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can say, I use boys as toys, which means they just manipulate them and use them for their own sort of, you know, as toys. Like, mm-hmm. they play with them.
Mm-hmm.
But a fuck boy, you never say a fuck man because a man.
Fuck you, man, you can say.
Well, a man implies like he's not just looking for what a boy's looking for. A man implies like he wants something like long term, or he's like mature. And mature men aren't fuckboys. But again, this is language used by women to, like, you know, some of it in that sense, you would, if there was a guy, like if you were a salty girl
mm-hmm.
who was upset that this guy you were fucking didn't want to commit to you,
mm-hmm.
even if he was a man, mm-hmm. right? Like maybe if it was like Dan Bilzerian, for example, you'd call him a fuckboy, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, he won't commit to me. He's just a fuckboy, right? Mm-hmm. But he's not a player, though. A player is much worse, as you said.
You see?
A player is someone who tricks girls into bed under the pretext
yeah.
of a relationship, but he'd never want a relationship. He just wanted to hook up and have fun, right?
Yeah, but he lies, and after the girls yes. are all pissed.
Yep, that's why he's a player.
And with
he's a liar
the
and a player.
Fuck boy, he never lies. He just shows his lifestyle that I'm like this, or you committed to me just to have a sex, and after we just like having our own life, or just, yeah.
Yeah, so here's a good question. Can you be a fuckboy without being a player?
Of course.
Do you think the average guy who became a fuckboy did it without being a player?
I think I don't know. It's harder to be a fuckboy because it's, I think, hard to get laid to not promise girls relationships.
Right.
And a lot of guys don't care about what girls will feel afterwards. That's why they promise them, yeah, I like you so much, blah, blah, blah. And they fuck them, and after they just disappear. And it's easier way.
Yeah.
But harder way is probably be a fuckboy and have all the girls around you. And that's why you don't need to even do anything because all of them want to fuck you and compete for you.
Yeah,
but
you know,
it's not easy to get all those girls around you.
It's almost impossible for a guy to become a fuckboy without first being a player, understanding that it's not the correct model. But it's very hard to go from like involuntary celibate or masturbator, same thing, to a guy who's able to build a rotation. So what's a rotation? A rotation is having spinning plates, you could say, having girls in your life that you're having sex with. You think it's casual, they might not know if it's casual or serious. They might be in it because they want you as a boyfriend. In fact, most of them usually will. So most guys, they need to learn to build those skills. They need to make themselves attractive, and they need to make those mistakes by going on lots of dates, having sex with girls. And if they do that, they're probably going to like build that rotation, spin those plates, and they're going to realize that there's all of this drama associated with being a player and doing that.
Of course.
Right? Like when you're dating multiple women at the same time, like most of them, not most of them, it depends on their age, but if their biological clock is ticking or depending on the culture you're living in, you know, how sexually open it is, you know, a lot of those women are going to sleep with you because they want a relationship, right?
Yeah.
And that's just going to be like the par for the course for a while until you realize that, all right, I need to stop presenting myself as a guy who's interested in relationships, and I need to start presenting myself as more of a fuckboy. And the only way to do that is to be so attractive that you're able to bring lots of women into your life, and then to have the women choose you for sex. So the real difference between a fuckboy and a player is girls fuck fuckboys, players fuck girls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? I think we can say that. Like
yeah.
a fuckboy gets laid, he's being chosen by women, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're a hot guy on Tinder and girls are like hitting you up to fuck, that you can be a fuckboy on there. But you got to be really attractive to be a fuckboy. It takes a lot to be a fuckboy. So if you want to become a fuckboy, if you want to have that option, if you want to live that bachelor lifestyle.
And it's not always about beauty. It's more about...
No, it's confidence. It's everything that goes into it.
Confidence, yeah.
Right? Like a rich guy with no game could never be a fuckboy. He could only be a provider.
Sugar daddy.
Sugar daddy provider. who's yeah. never going to get great sex.
Yeah.
Because the girls are never going to fully surrender.
Money. For free,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the good sex has much more to do with the woman fully surrendering to you and feeling like she desires you, right? But if she just desires something you're giving her and she doesn't desire you, you're never going to feel that deep connection. That's like, I mean, that's, you're never going to feel that love, right? That you could call that love. So hopefully that distinction is clear, right? On the path to becoming like my own version of like the closest thing I could be to a 10, I'm obviously not a 10, but on the path of like walking that journey, first I went from like I was basically in forced monogamy, which means I wasn't an incel, right? I could get laid, but I could only get laid by my girlfriend, right? So I would choose a girl that I wanted to have sex with, and I wanted to keep having sex with her, so I made her my girlfriend, right? But those were my only sexual options. Then I learned to become a player by going on lots of dates, approaching girls, getting better with my online profiles, building my Instagram. And then I was able to build a rotation of women, casual women, spinning plates. And then from there, after getting much better and learning what was even more attractive, what works, what doesn't, then I was able to create a social circle, which allowed me to become a fuckboy, which allowed me to experience massive abundance, and then decide it was boring, and then choose the best wife out of all of my options. So, I mean, there's my life story, at least when it comes to dating. So hopefully that all makes sense. How long does an average rotation girl last, do you think? Like, let's say we meet on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I approach you.
Mm-hmm.
I get your number. We go on a date. I take you on the dating protocol, which is a free download on innerconfidence.com. If you guys don't have the dating protocol, freaking get it, because it's the best way to turn dates into rotation girls, right? You're going to take her through on a series of dates. It might take one date to have sex. It might take two or three or whatever. But as long as you're progressing and becoming more and more intimate each time, it doesn't really matter how long it takes. Just enjoy the process. Some girls, you know, need more connection or just need to feel safer to have sex.
Yeah.
But let's say we do that. Let's say I'm pursuing you, right? I literally chase you down the street. I got your number. I took you on, you know, three dates and we started having sex. And now you come over like once a week and we hook up, right? Like, how long do you think that would last?
From my point of view, it will last until I will find someone better.
Mm-hmm.
It can be months and it can be 3 months. I don't know. Can be, I don't know.
So what if you really like me? How long would it take you to be like, stop hooking up with other girls?
Less than a month.
Yeah. A rotation sort of situation is going to usually have like a 1 to 3 month typical shelf life. If you can stretch it to 6 months, that's very tough, because that conversation of what are we is usually going to come up like right around the 1.5, 2 month mark if you're seeing each other like once a week, right? Like, let's say we hook up on the third date and then I see you the fall, that was a Tuesday. Let's say I see you the next Wednesday, we have sex, then the next Wednesday after that, and the next Wednesday after that. What are you thinking at that point?
That we're seeing each other on Wednesdays?
Right. Because you're going to be like, am I just like your Wednesday girl?
Yeah.
Right? You're going to be like, all right, clearly this guy.
No, I will just try to schedule something on a different day.
And see how I behave.
Yeah, and if you say, yeah, of course, let's go, you probably will think that it's a coincidence. Or maybe he is free from his work on Wednesdays the most or something. But if he will always say, no, I only can do Wednesday, it will be weird for me.
It's a red flag.
Yeah.
That I'm clearly, you know, I've got a Tuesday girl, I've got a Thursday girl,
yeah.
right? And you can have a conversation with those girls. Like, if I said to you, if I knew you were going to hit me with that conversation, right? You're like, so what are we doing here? Are you seeing other people? Because I'm not seeing anyone. And I don't want to have sex with you if you're seeing other people, because I don't want to get an STD, right? Mm-hmm. That's how most girls are going to frame it. Really, it's not about that. Really, it's because they like
about
you and they're jealous.
Feel, you know,
but that's a way thing. That's a way for them to pretend it's about something else, right? But we all know what it really is. Because obviously we hooked up and she wasn't that worried about the STDs because we hooked up in the first place. And she had no idea if I was seeing other people or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's a red herring. It's a false sort of argument. However, it's not like you can be like, oh, that's a bullshit argument. You're just saying that it's a red herring. Robbie told me you're full of shit. Like, obviously you're not going to do that. And she's going to think you're a weirdo and an asshole player if you do. So the way to get ahead of that conversation is you have to kind of be the one to admit it before she asks you. Because if she asks you and then you're like, oh yeah, I'm just kind of busy with work, or I'm kind of focused on this, like, yeah, you can kind of like punt that
but
for later.
But how can you admit that you are a player and for her to be okay with this?
Say half the girls will say, okay, cool.
Will say, okay, fuck you.
Well, the other half will say that. But out of those 50%, 25% will come back and still fuck you. 25%
But maybe this 25%, maybe they also were seeing other guys. That's why they don't care.
Exactly.
But the girls who were thinking that maybe something will get they will just...
Yeah, so maybe around like the three-week month, I'd be like, hey, listen, you know, I don't mean to be presumptuous with this conversation. Because I really like you, I respect you, mm-hmm. and I want to keep seeing you. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you feel about me. I don't know if you want to be, you know, with me exclusively or what you want or what you're looking for. It doesn't matter. But basically with me right now, like, I want to keep seeing you. But also, like, I want to be honest and say I'm also, like, doing other things, right?
It's totally fine because I do other things too.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
Good. Okay.
All right, now let's role play the other way.
Okay.
You know, I respect you and... You know, obviously when we're not seeing each other, who knows, I'm probably doing other things. Mm-hmm. And
which things are you doing?
You know, like other things, other people.
What does it even mean?
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean, what does it mean?
I don't know.
You're not hooking up with anyone else?
No, I thought that we will date soon. And
I'm just kind of like really focused on my work right now. And like, I really like you and I respect
you.
So. I just thought you knew. Like,
how should I know?
I
see tons of girls on your Insta profile. You don't have anyone. How should I know?
See, this is the problem with being a player. You might get this, right? Like, if you bring that up. Now, if I knew she was going to react like that, I wouldn't bring it up, right? I would just keep on doing what I'm doing. And then when she says, what am I, like, your Wednesday girl? I'd be like, no, I'm just really busy with work. I don't know. I just really have no time. And she's going to push more and push more. I'm not really going to admit what I'm doing. Because I know if I do, I'm going to get that reaction, right? So it's not like you can use this as like, copy what I'm saying every time. You have to feel it out. And that's again, my pitch for stop being players. If you have the ability to become a player, you should transition into being a fuckboy, build a social circle, and learn social circle game. Like, join the leverage group. This is exactly what we teach. And if you're not ready to be a player yet, join and build those skill sets as well. But like, if you remain at that player level, you're just gonna have nothing but drama, nothing but shitty conversations like this, girls being pissed at you, so on and so forth. So that's a pretty big important distinction, and you know, one you should be working on, like moving through that player stage. Most guys start at nice guys, right? And you got to move out of the inauthentic nice guy stage.
Exactly.
The nice guy doesn't get attraction, he's scared of rejection, he's got approach anxiety,
no one get horny and wet.
And then you become a player, right? And then you can only become a player if you drop the nice guy stuff. And then once you have a rotation of girls and you have the ability to do that, now we can talk about becoming a fuckboy. And if you ever want to get married, a lot of guys say, oh, I don't want to be a fuckboy. I want to find the perfect wife. I want to find my soulmate. Suck my dick with your fucking soulmate talk. Like, are you my soulmate? Of course.
Yeah.
But I never thought, like, I'm looking for my soulmate. Because the reality is, there's millions of soulmates out there. Like, you become a 10 and you attract a 10 and you decide which one is the best fit for your personality. That's your soulmate, right? Like, this whole idea that there's this one person out there for me and me only, it's really nonsense. Like, it's just not, you've been watching too many Disney movies if you really believe in that. The only guys who believe in that are like guys who are like totally like plugged in the matrix. They're nice guys most of the time. And they don't have an abundance of women. Because what you realize once you start having sex with an abundance of women is that there's a lot of awesome girls. And it comes much more down to like personality styles, how you guys deal with conflict. Do you mesh well from like just a hanging out standpoint, right? There's all these things that go into it. I don't know fucking what they all are. That's the chemistry.
They need to watch White Lotus second season about that nice guy. Oh my God.
Yeah, watch White Lotus seasons 1 and 2. It's a really fascinating social dynamic.
And there is nice guy in season 2. Oh my God.
The Asian guy.
No, the rich guy.
Oh, sorry. There's two nice guys. Well, he's kind of a nice guy too. The Asian guy in the couple. He's more nice guy than the other guy.
But they say about the single
one.
Oh,
right.
Oh,
the Stanford nerd.
Yeah.
Who literally loses a girl to a fuckboy. And then he hooks up with a prostitute to make her jealous.
And the
prostitute.
No, don't save. They will. No, don't spoil.
Yeah, I guess I'm spoiling it. Sorry. Total.
No, forget,
spoiler.
But still watch.
Yeah, watch it anyways. Doesn't matter. I didn't really spoil anything. There's way more shit that goes on. So, Let's talk about a typical level of conversation and connection before the first good sex. Now, this is an interesting question that one of the guys in the group asked. Like, if I look back on where I was at different points along my journey and what needed to transpire for me to feel connected enough, or really for the girl to feel connected enough to have sex, what was that? So this is a bit hard to explain, but the better I got with women, the more attractive I became, the faster sex would start to happen, where women would just kind of like, they'd be like, okay, clearly this guy's a fuckboy. Clearly he has the ability to hook up with a lot of girls. I know if I try to do my, like, you know, if I try to slow him down onto my program, he's probably going to lose interest.
No, but it's a fuckboy. You don't even think about this because you know that.
Oh, that's my point. You already know he's not going to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, so you know that you can't, like, get that guy to take you on a bunch of dates,
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
You could just, right? go on the party and fuck him there.
Right. But let's, you know, but if you like him, you know, like, now that's another thing that's interesting is if a girl really likes you, she's probably going to have, she's going to want to make you wait to have sex, which can be a total mindfuck for guys because they'll be like, oh, this girl must not like me because she slept with these other guys really fast and she's taking a long time with
mm-hmm,
me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the guys in the group recently posted that. And it'll drive guys crazy knowing that she fucked some other guy on, like, the first night or had mm-hmm. a one-night stand with a guy, mm-hmm. but she's mm-hmm. making you wait. Mm-hmm. She's only making you wait because she likes you.
She likes, of course. Yeah. You don't want to spoil the moment. You want to give him, like, show him that you're a nice girl and everything.
Right. You want to make him work for it.
Yeah, bit, yeah. Right?
So, but if you're in, like, a dating context, most seductions happen, they've done studies on this, after right around the 7-hour mark. They call it the 7-hour rule mm-hmm. in, like, in the pickup artist community, which it usually takes about 7 hours for most women on a, you know, like, obviously this is a huge average across a big sample size, but it usually takes around 7 hours of one-on-one time for a woman to feel connected enough to want to have sex.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I designed the dating protocol specifically to take about 7 hours. You can go through the whole protocol in one night. Like, if you meet at 8 p.m. for drinks, and you go to 3 venues at 2 o'clock when the bar starts to close, you go back to your place for a nightcap. That's the 4th venue. And by 3 o'clock, you're usually naked and having sex. That's like 7 hours. The amount of times I did that is, like, very high, maybe in the triple digits, like running that dating protocol in New York City, meeting girls on Tinder, day game, night game, and then taking them through that thing when I was in the player stage. Right. And that 7-hour rule was so fucking, like, similar. So what do you need to talk about in the 7 hours? Well, it doesn't really matter a whole lot. Like, she's going to be attracted to you or not.
I think what is matter is to not speak about some deep conversation because you don't know this person much and you don't want to share something, like,
you don't. Yeah. The idea is you want to get physically naked before you get too emotionally naked.
Yeah. Because I think for me, emotionally naked, it's scarier. Yeah,
it's actually easier to get naked physically than it is emotionally.
Yeah.
And it's that physical nakedness that will then lead to the emotional nakedness. So mm-hmm. a lot of nice guys or guys who are inexperienced think that they need to get emotionally naked first.
I hate it.
And it's so unattractive. I went on this one date with this girl and I learned this concept of deep rapport. I did the thing again, punch me in the face. I learned the concept of, like, deep rapport from a pickup artist and saying, like, yeah, you really got to go deep with them. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to tell a deep rapport story. So I met this girl on my lunch break when I used to work at an investment bank. I saw her. She was in a Chipotle. She was hot. I didn't have time to approach her. I had to get back to the office. I literally left my business card on her car window.
Mm-hmm.
She never saw me, but she emailed me.
Really?
Yeah. And we went out and had lunch in that same shopping center a few days later. Mm-hmm. You know, I wrote her some witty email and I even wrote on the business card on the back, I saw you, wanted to talk to you, but I had to run back to the office. So, you know, hit me up. I promise I'm only 1/3 creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I wrote that right on the card.
Okay.
And so she did. We met for lunch and she was telling me at lunch how she was, like, you know, I think she was, like, in AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, trying to get over her drinking issues. But, you know, the next date we met at a dive bar. And she's like, oh, I don't really want to drink. A dive bar. What? It's like a shitty bar. I showed it to you when we went to Pacific Beach.
Oh, my goodness.
It was called
The Dog.
It's called The Dog. So we meet at this place. The vibe is, like, pretty good right off the bat. We're playing pool. She's touching me a lot. I could tell there was some attraction there. Nice. Right, mm-hmm. It's the second date. Obviously, she's somewhat into me. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, oh, I should tell this deep rapport story. Mm-hmm. So I tell the story about my dog who had died.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
So cringe.
Oh, I would leave immediately.
It was super cringe.
I would feel so bad.
Luckily, like, I'm kind of telling it as we're, like, starting to play pool. And she's like, yeah, that's really sad. Let's just play pool. I don't want to talk about your dog.
Of course, you don't want.
And
you
I just
care.
Felt so stupid. But I was like, whatever. But that really kind of killed the mood a bit. But anyways, we're playing pool. Luckily, I'm good at pool, so I was beating her. And then at one point, this one guy, like, blatantly tried to cock block me, right? He asked, he's like, oh, how do you guys know each other? Are you guys on a first date? I bet you guys are on a first date.
Oh,
and
my God, why would he say this?
He's trying to cock block.
Asshole.
Total asshole. And I went like this. I'm like, nah, she's my, like, bratty little sister. And I just saw her eyes, like, become so attracted to me in that moment. She's like, yeah, I'm his sister. I'm like, well, I'm like, yeah, you, trust me, you don't want her. She, like, pees in the bed. She's gross. Like, and I started doing this role play. And the guy, like, didn't know what to say.
Of course.
Right? He was just, like, totally shut down. He walked away. We go outside. We start making out. I live, like, around the corner. So we walk back to my place. And then we, like, she wouldn't have sex, but we, like, you know, fell asleep in my bed. And I woke up in the morning, like, totally hungover. And I'm like,
was it boner?
Well, totally hungover. Like, what happened? It took me, like, 5 seconds to be like, oh, wait, where's that girl? She left, right? Because she, like, fell asleep with me. And then she was gone. Oh. And I never saw her again. And I think that was, you know, there was just too many weird things about what I was doing, right? Like, there was the whole deep rapport story, just the way in which I picked her up in the first place. Also, I was, like, kind of pressuring her a little bit to drink. And
oh,
I
no
knew
way.
She was, I mean, she had no problem drinking, but she was in AA, right? Like, she was trying to not drink.
Yeah, it's
but
bad.
I was, like, putting her in an environment to drink.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not so like many... I twisted her arm, but
no,
still.
But still, so many red flags. You know, she's like, if this guy, when I like him, he's a not good fit because I tried to quit drinking. I would rather find someone who doesn't drink and I will get better.
Exactly.
And he won't tell me about his dead dog.
And then I got the worst dating advice in the history of dating advice. So I went to, well, one of my bosses at the investment bank was like this, like, man pants wearing, you know, like, older woman. She was probably in her 50s. She was pretty good looking. So I figured, I'll ask her for advice. And this is the problem with asking women for advice. I'm like, this is the situation. What would you, like, I want to get this girl on a date again. What should I do? Like, what should I message? She's like, you know, you probably made her feel really uncomfortable with, like, the drinking and all that stuff. So I'd suggest messaging her and saying, like, you know, send her a message saying, like, hey, it was so nice to meet you. Let's meet again, but let's, like, take it slow. And not drink and really get to know each other.
It's so bad.
It's fucking awful. But I'm an idiot and I listened. And I and I sent her that text and of course nothing. And then I showed it to my buddy who is good with women. He's like, oh my God, this is the gayest, worst fucking
let's
loser
take it
text
to lower.
Ever. And he's like, no. So then he's like, the only way to recover from that is to send her a venue of a place that's, like, ridiculously not that. So he's like, send her, say, hey, let's meet on Friday at the Power Exchange, which is like a BDSM club. So my text was like, I'm thinking this would be a great place to take it slow. Like, you know, thepowerexchange.com. And then she obviously laughed at that. But I still never saw her again. It was like another. So the point being in this story, what was my point? What were we talking about?
About deep conversations.
Oh, right. What level of connection
of course.
Relates to having sex? So, like,
first you want to have fun.
All right, so what should you do on a date to, like, make that? Well, first, obviously, download the dating protocol. But the whole idea is, first, you're going to just get through the nicey small talk, right? That's going to happen probably within 15 to 20 minutes. And then from there, you need to move to, like, a more engaging conversation. So you play the questions game. And by playing that question game, it's like truth or dare without the dare, you're going to, you know, you're going to get a little bit more vulnerable and you're going to tell stories and you're going to keep it fun and sexual and, and, like, don't push sex, but, like, you can tell sexual stories. Mm-hmm. You can ask questions that lead to that. That's all the questions are in that PDF. Mm-hmm. Right. And then, like, once there's that level of connections, usually fine to make out. Right. And then once you've made out, that signal that there's attraction for sure. Like, no girl's going to make out with you if she doesn't find you attractive. right? Now, she may not have sex with you, and that from the make out to have sex happen, that's going to happen if you just keep having fun.
Yeah.
That's it.
I agree.
Don't make it about the conversation more. Just keep having fun. If that takes 4 or 5 dates, who cares? As long as you're continuing to have fun, you're going to get to know the other
person.
You're
enjoying the process, yeah. Right?
And you don't need to ask these, like, what do you think about Roe versus Wade, right? You don't need to talk about abortion. You don't need to talk about fucking politics. You don't need to talk about your dumbass philosophical horse shit. You don't need to talk about, you know, like your fucking PhD thesis. She doesn't care. If you're one of these like intellectual guys who like, yeah, I need to tell her about my thoughts on, you know,
it's so
like
boring.
Jewish literacy. Like, go fuck yourself, man. Like, she doesn't give a shit, right? So, like, have fun. And eventually you guys will hook up. And if you have anxiety around hooking up, like my client did who asked this question, you can be the one to slow that down, right? Like, you don't have to have sex until you want to have sex. If that's going to take 4 or 5 dates, it doesn't matter. But if you're having fun, she's going to keep coming back no matter what, right? So you don't want to think about it like, oh, we need to talk about this stuff before we have sex. It's not about the content. It's about the quality of the connection. And the quality connection is, do you guys share fun times together, right? Like, and a lot of the times it's just doing stuff. Venue 3 of the dating protocol is just doing anything together. The focus is not on the conversation. It's on like, you know, we're hitting balls at the driving range. We're going to mini golf. We're going rock climbing, bumper cars, like any activity. The dumber and the more childlike, even the better, because then you can really get a feel for their personality.
Yeah.
So think about it in terms of that. And I think that will help clear the air a bit. So, And keep in mind, if you're doing that, if you're following the dating protocol, she's going to be added to your rotation. And then, you know, unless you're both looking for people to have in your rotation, that relationship is probably going to last 3 to 6 months, right? If you want to do like the player thing, but do it on the up and up, is you would just want to have kind of like hint about that's what you're looking for kind of earlier on in those conversations.
But maybe they just want to have a girlfriend and they will be happy.
Well, you can go on Seeking.com. That's a great site for finding girls who are hot, who want to have some sort of strange, not sort of cookie cutter relationship. I'd say the mistake, a day game is such an amazing thing because it gets you over your approach anxiety, it gets you over your fear, but it's really tough to ever become a fuckboy by pure day game, right? Because day game is like, I like you, I'm going to approach you, I want you to be my girlfriend. Right.
Yeah.
And then when you're just like, oh, just kidding, I'm not looking for that, you just kind of look like a schmoll.
Yeah.
Right. So
I don't know what it is.
Schmuck.
Schmuck. Yeah. Like a schmuck.
You know what a schmoll is? You taught me that word.
No, but they don't know.
Schmoll. Yeah. Schmuck. So hopefully that sheds some insights into these terms. And if you guys have other questions, please leave a comment. If there's other terms you'd like broken down, we'd be happy to shed some light.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.